This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome to The Hit Back. It is Tukwasa D. Dean hosting today's episode of The Hit Back. Today is International Women's Day, and so I'd like to send greetings and blessings to every woman under the sound of my voice. I celebrate you today. I celebrate this day that has been designated just for us to look at the advancements we've made in the world and also to continue to advocate, to break the bias and for equal opportunities, equal access, equal pay. And you got it. You know what I mean. So happy, happy International Women's Day to you. The reality is everyone has a role in forging a more gender-balanced world. It's not just women who are to be a part of this fight for equality and for access and for us to be able to have equal salaries, equal prominence as men, but every man should also want to advocate to help the advancement of women. Because the reality is, the rise of the woman is not about the fall of men, to do with pulling men down. So it's not a threat to you. Join us as we advocate for more access and equal opportunities. To join our discussion today, I invite you to text 422-4796. That's 422-4796. And our telephone lines are 323-6232. 325-4316 or 325-4259. Now, we've talked a lot about rights for women, women's rights. We've had a lot of discussions about the advancement of women, women's place in the world, marital rape, all of these different components that relate to women. And in reality, while there's been a lot of work done to advance women's causes, we still have quite a way to go. In preparation for this show, actually, I spent some time doing a bit of research and researching the privileges that we take for granted as women, but not just as women, the privileges that we take for granted as people that our forefathers and others who came before us and are still alive, fought for. As a matter of fact, we give no thought to the privilege to travel, the privilege to vote. We just go to the polls and mark our X. The privilege to work in a career because, you know, in times past, a woman's place was in the home. We have so many privileges to be grateful for. And I want to just talk and highlight that women like Dame Boswick, who started a fight for women back in the day, really advocated for women to have better pay, to be educated on their jobs, for women to have in the court system. She advocated for at a time when it was so male-dominated. But outside of her, there were women from the women's suffrage movement who made it possible for many of the blessings that we enjoy today. Some of those amazing women were women like Doris Johnson, who led a demonstration to Parliament, and she gave a speech. And I got some of this information from cob.bs.libguides. And I was also very intrigued at the fact that I did not realize how much work went into the evolution and the advancement of women. And so Doris Johnson, she advocated for the women. Eugenia Lockhart demanded the attention of the House of Assembly through petitions and picketing in the public square. Mary Ingram, who had agitated that the powers that be for some time, she get to give women equal voting rights as men. But she'd been unsuccessful until she joined forces with other like-minded women like Mabel Walker, that a school is named after, and that school is named after her for good reason. The fact that she was an American born in Greenville, South Carolina, did no way diminish her passion for the advancement and education of women and gender equality here in the Bahamas. There are so many other women who have sacrificed for the advancement of women, and I want to celebrate how far we have come. And as you're listening, I'd like to encourage you to text in and to celebrate what, in your opinion, are some of the biggest advancements that women experience today. Again, that text line is 422-4796. I would love to have your input on today's show. Right now, joining me in studio, amazing guests. These are young women who have chosen some non-traditional career paths. And when we talk about breaking the bias, we want to also consider the fact that we are biased at times toward people who choose careers that are not traditional. So I want to have this conversation with two creatives today who share their voices and their talents with the hopes of building careers in these areas. And I want to invite to the show right now Yasmin Glinton Poitier, who is a poet, storyteller, teacher, actress, and a workshop facilitator. Thus far, she has published 4 books of poetry, The Year She Wrote in 2017, At the Shore 2019, and Olive Branch 2020. And of course, Yasmin, you're going to have to tell me how to pronounce that. Volume 1, Glinton. And so, Yasmin, welcome to The Hit Back.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great. Also, joining us is a 16-year-old, proud to say 17. She is finally, she says, 17-year-old creative young lady with a passion for creativity, for singing, for performing arts. And I'm so excited to have such a young voice on today's show. Before we dig into our topic, though, this young lady is going to share her talents with us. And her talent is dedicated to all women today as we celebrate International Women's Day. Elena, we welcome you to today's show.
Good afternoon. My name is Elena Munnings. My stage name is Elena Eden. And to all the women out there, I hope that this song brings you some comfort. You're broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round. And you can find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out and move mountains. We gon' walk it out and move mountains. And I'll rise like the day. I'll rise up, I'll rise unafraid. I'll rise up, and I'll do it a thousand times again. All we need is hope and for that we have each other. For that we have each other. We'll rise up high like the waves. We'll rise up in spite of the ache. And I will rise 1,000 times again.
Awesome, Elena. Thank you so very much. And we just want to encourage women everywhere to continue to rise up as we celebrate you on this International Women's Day.
Girl power.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And so, Yasmin and Elena, as we get into our conversation today about breaking the bias, we'll be talking about the fact that the rise of women is not about the fall of men. But as we just start our discussion about breaking the bias, I'd like to ask you, first of all, Yasmin, to share with us your journey as a poet, and we'll hear from you before the end of the show, your tribute to women today for International Women's Day. But I'd love to hear from you your thoughts on how far we have advanced with breaking the bias towards women in careers, in religion, in our homes, in our chosen purpose. What are your thoughts?
I would say that that is something that we are still working through as a society. I think for so long we have had males in such powerful positions in our country that women often stayed in the background. In a lot of ways, because you don't want the attention. If you're busy, the added stress, I guess, of having that family that you are building, as well as trying to build a career. And I think we're just really learning the importance of our voice as women within the community and how important it is for us to include our stories in the history of the Bahamas, because I think we have lost so much in general of our stories because we don't tell them. But normally when the stories are told, it is from the male perspective. And so just really valuing how women in our lives, especially because even though we do say that, you know, this is a patriarchal society, so we say, mainly people are being raised in this time by women. And so I think the inclusion of the female voice is something that is just really resonating in the society. And it is our job to ensure that resignation that it deserves. And that is through the exploration, I think, of all career paths. So we have to dismantle the idea that there is a certain place for a woman to exist in career. There's a certain place for her to exist in the spiritual realm, in churches, and that there's a place for her to exist in politics. I think we have to really dismantle and break down what our perception of leadership roles or even power dynamics in our society is, for us to fully immerse or embrace or encourage women to even take the position of standing firmly in what they believe and what they desire and what they dream. Sorry, I'm gonna get a little carried away. Reel me in.
Girl, I can hear your passion, girl. We have some time to talk, but I can definitely hear your passion for this subject. You know, women have a place. We have one place. That's the thing. Like, we as women, we have the right to be in various segments. We can be in careers. We can have leadership positions in our homes. We are very diverse. So I agree with you that, you know, women, it's just not one thing or one role that we can fulfill. Elena is a now 17-year-old, and as you look at your career as a creative, as someone who wants to become established in the world as a creative, living on a passion that's attached to your strengths, are you finding at this young age that there may be some bias toward your choice of wanting to be an entertainer versus taking a traditional career, such as, you know, being in the corporate world. How has that experience been for you so far?
Well, at first, when I was just deciding that, I want to be a star, every time somebody would ask me, what do you want to do? Like, what would you like to do in life when you graduate? I'd say, well, I want to be a star. And they'd look at you, what? So I think it's all in the support that we get. The people that we surround ourselves with and make sure that they support what we do. Even if we don't get support in that, we must also be very strong in our decisions as women. And me choosing a career path that isn't a sure path, you know, because you don't know if you're going to make it or not. So because of that, of course, I have my plan B. So when I go to college, God willing, this year, I plan to major in business management. So I can still have that events going on in my life, you know, but, you know, my passion and my goal is to be a successful professional vocalist. So,
and you know what? Your goal, your dream, your passion is, it's doable. Mm-hmm. You know, people see limitations based on their perceptions. People see limitations based on their experiences and what mm-hmm. they know. And so a lot of time, fear stems from the individual's perspective.
Right.
But when that passion sits with you and it burns, the world is indeed our playground.
Right. We can do whatever we want, just as long as we stick with it, you know, and don't let anybody get in our heads about it, you know. There's enough room in this world for everybody to make it. Trust me.
Absolutely. And so, Yasmin, as we look at bias, biases that women face in the workplace, what are, in your opinion, and I'll share some of mine, but what are some of the biases that people experience generally, women experience generally in the workplace?
I taught for about 10 years in the government school system, and I would say one of the biggest biases that I would have come up against was the idea that women don't or they can't have the authority that a man can have in the leadership position. And so I think that is one of the biggest things that I would have confronted in the career of a teacher. Often, and women, children, male or female, respond to the power only in a man. But the reality is, for me growing up, it wasn't about the gender, it was about the respect that they commanded. I was raised, and I went to school to Palmdale Primary, and we had female principals, and that school was smooth sailing. You know what I mean? There was no issues in terms of coming up against any conflict in the school. But I think that lately in the Ministry of Education, there's been this push for males, for males, for males, for males. And I understand the need for a male example, but I don't think that we should make the contrast that the male is more powerful or more impactful on the lives of young individuals than the female. And so that, I think, was the biggest struggle in the education system for me.
Wow. And, you know, there are so many organizations seek men for specifically. And for conversations that I've been privy to, participated in, or advocated with, you know, a lot of the desire to have that male in those positions are connected to things that women experience, like pregnancy. Men don't get pregnant. They don't need maternity leave. You also have it said that women are more emotional. Men are a little bit more logical. And so having a man in place makes the work environment less emotional. There is the perception that men will work harder than women will work simply because they don't have the same, and I'll put in quotations, distractions. And distractions are referred to as being the nurturer or taking care of kids or having other priorities that can pull them away from being focused solely on the work environment. And I think that we have done a great job in terms of balancing many of the roles that we have to fill. Time, we cannot be compared to men who many times have less responsibility or choose to have less responsibility than a woman has in the world as the nurturer. As we talk about the woman's place, though, because we are talking about International Women's Day, and I did have a guest just enter the room. I thought that this conversation would be on a whole other level with this passionate young woman who advocates for women as well. But do women have a role that is specifically in the home? You know, and oftentimes back in the day, you've heard that a woman's place is in the home. So, Daz, welcome to the Hit Back again. And let's hear your input.
My input? Why you want to hear my input? Why would you want to hear my input on this topic? Oh, my goodness. Where do I start? Well, the first thing is I was listening to the lady earlier, and I had a couple points that I'll expound on very briefly. So, here's the thing. The Black culture and the Black community that a lot of us kind of fall under has been matriarchal in terms of leadership for quite a long time. A lot of other societies are patriarchal. And so we could see what that has done to our communities and our society. I'm not going to expound on what that has done. I think we all see that. There was a post that I saw that showed a ballerina going off to war, right? It was a gentleman. He was Ukrainian. And it was showing him, you know, putting down his craft or his career, doing professional ballet, and putting on a soldier's suit. Now, the comments under that post were interesting because people were referencing his sexuality based on what his job was. And so I always find it interesting that masculinity in a lot of other societies is seen as protection, provision, and usually in the Black society, pop culture pushes the narrative that masculinity in our society is, you know, abandonment of children, women, and families. A lot of times it's things that are driven by the media, right? So it'll be things like, you know, what I call faux masculinity, right? Which is more so, you know, of character traits that are not necessarily desirable. So I feel like a woman's place being in a home, you can't even get to that point if that's somebody's viewpoint with a society or a culture that's not even functional to begin with, right? And we are not. And that's just the vantage point I see it at when you contrast us with other societies. And people say, oh, well, the world has changed and this and that. You really can't pay attention a lot of times to the media because what they profess and the way how they live is two different things. And I saw this very recently also on social media. You remember Clubhouse used to be very popular and then it disappeared, right? And you had this forum where it was just, you know, feminism.
The social media platform.
Feminism. You know, that men were necessary. And I laughed because I know a lot of those profiles. And the women who were espousing these things, they are married women with children, and a lot of them actually do not work. So we have to be careful sometimes when we listen to narratives to actually look at who is saying the things and to see if their life actually lines up with it. Miss Beyonce is another one. All the, you know, she was saying, you know, who run the world, girls. She is very submissive to her husband. She's very traditional, you know. So you can't watch a lot of times what is said. You have to look at the actions, and you can't worry about what media is portraying because a lot of times it's just not accurate.
Well, the thing is, Yasmin, Odaz, and Adina, that's a lot of where we actually compare ourselves, what's out there in the world, what social media, what people are sharing or showing on social media. That's how we're comparing ourselves. And the reality is we have no idea what's happening in people's personal lives, what they are really doing. We only have access to what they share, and what they share, we sometimes use that information as a basis to say whether we're doing enough or whether we're doing too much, or to kind of judge ourselves, you know. And I know this to be more as women, more so than men. But when we talk about women having a particular place, it rubs me the wrong way.
Why?
Because my place is where I choose to be. Mm-hmm. As a woman, my choice is where I choose to be. If I choose to work, that's my prerogative. If I choose to be a housewife, that's my prerogative. Mm-hmm. If I choose a non-traditional career path, that's right. my choice. That's my right. If I choose that I want to be traditional in what the expectation is of a, through a day, work day, working 8 hours, giving my job the best that I have, then going home and have to hustle again with children, dealing with homework, depleting myself, sometimes with support, sometimes without support. It's at the end of the day, my choice on who I want to be and what I want to do. And I don't think that my freedom of choice as a woman should be snuffed out. I don't think that my flame should be extinguished.
Yeah.
Because of somebody else's opinion on where a woman should be or what a woman should be doing. Now, Simone, are you there?
While we wait on Simone, but Dequessa, you notice that even though, so what you're saying is actually what true feminism was supposed to be about. But what it has turned into is women can have any choice except if they want to be traditional. That's what it has turned into. So a lot of the communities, they call them trad wife, right? I follow a lot of the hashtags on Instagram and things. They get attacked now by women who go the path of career. And I think it's unfortunate because that's what it was supposed to be. Women having the choice. So why now has the narrative turned into the only choice is to be a career woman. The only choice is to be a working woman. And if a woman doesn't want to do that, then something is somehow wrong with her. You see, that's a problem. It's still not giving a choice. It's one extreme to the next extreme. And in a society that was already matriarchal, we just got hoodwinked, basically. Okay, right. Because the it was never patriarchal.
I'm loving this discussion,
so
honestly.
Why would we have done that? Makes no sense.
Yeah. Yasmin, let me pull you in to the discussion. What are your thoughts? Where is a woman's place?
I 100% agree with what you said earlier, that for herself, where it is she wishes to exist within the society. Where she wants to develop her skills, where she is most valuable within herself and within the dreams that she aspires to. And so I think that there should be no limitation on that, regardless of where that takes her or what path that looks like. Because there are women or young girls at all phases, sorry, the teacher in me is, you know, coming out. They're young girls at all phases that need different types of women, for examples, so that they can see a variety of paths before them that they can choose from if they so desire. But if we're all gathered into or corralled into one area, one space, then those young women are navigating without someone in, not necessarily directing their path, but showing them the possibility of paths.
Okay. Let me just make sure I mute this. I don't know why I'm hearing this. You mute.
It sounds
okay. So as we continue our conversation, I want to hear from Elena, because as a young woman at the tender age of 17, who is now just beginning to think about her career path, who has this desire to be a star, whatever that entails. And as a matter of fact, I just wanted to let you know that my dad texted in and he said to let you know that there's nothing wrong with wanting to be a star.
Thank you, Dad. Thank you.
As you look forward, as you look toward the future of bringing this passion and this desire to reality, where are you finding your inspiration? Where are you finding your courage? Like, where are the women in your life that are guiding you? And what are the messages that they're sharing with you?
Well, my support system. You know, it's very important to have people, like I said earlier, a good support system around you, people that help to build you up and support what you want to do. So my mom has always supported me in singing, and especially my dad. I call him my dadager, because he's always there with me, telling me, you know, if you're getting tired, you can stop, or, you know, if you want to sing this place, you can, or trying to get places for me to sing, you know, just supporting me in everything that I do. So that is a very important thing that should be in your life, you know, especially my family. Especially being a girl, it's very easy to be swayed by everything on social media, all these different posts about, oh, a girl should be like this, or a girl should dress like this, or look like this, do their makeup like this. You know, it's very easy to forget who you are. That is why I feel like it is so important for me to remember my passion, who I am, and to remember that it is important to stay true to yourself. And to know what you want to do, where you want to go to do it. Because you have every right in the world to do what you want to do, especially as a woman.
Absolutely, Elena. And I'm so proud of you for saying that. But more so, it just feels wonderful to hear you talk about the level of support that you are receiving from your family members as you pursue your dreams. Mm-hmm. And every woman deserves that level of support.
Boy, without them, I probably would have stopped singing a long time ago.
Right. So every woman deserves to have someone that believes in her. Somebody that cherishes her, somebody that values her, somebody that sees the potential in her and helps her to level up, to rise up. Every girl, every young girl deserves a parent or a mentor or a coach who loves her, a coach who can help her navigate the path towards her dream and not try to squash it, not try to say, oh, well, you better go to college and you better be this particular type of professional. And if we can allow young people and young women specifically to really feel their dreams, to really identify what they want to do and how they want to contribute to this world, we may find that there is a whole lot more successful women in the world because they're desirous of seeing people bloom into their full potential.
And since it is International Women's Day, you know, it is very important for us as women to take time to ourselves to figure out what we want to do, who we are, who we want to be, and to find our own passions, like you were saying.
So. Absolutely. And so, Simone, as you joined the show today, both you and Gandhi, I want to welcome you, and I'm loving this roundtable discussion that we're having about breaking the bias. I want to throw my next question out there, specifically to Simone and Gandhi. So as you think about breaking the bias, and this is for me, this is something that I'm passionate about. As we look at breaking the bias and having the expectancy of the world to give us access, to give us equal opportunities, to give us equal pay, as we look at the expectation that we have of the world, are we really giving that to ourselves? Are we really being our sister's keepers? Are we helping our sisters to advance in life? Are we finding that we are breaking the bias among ourselves, setting the example for the world to follow? And as you think about that question, we're going to go to break and come back to hear your responses from it. And hey, I'm every woman.
This traffic report is brought to you by Shield Insurance and Prudential Law Suggestors.
First look at traffic this afternoon, and the weather is holding up pretty good for us today. We've got a great day. Traffic moving across the island is also in a good condition at this point. Few congestion and delays in the city areas like Blue Road and East Street South coming on Robinson Road. Got your regular two-stack of traffic headed towards the roundabouts there. On East Street, the amount of traffic going through the roundabout there is slowing. The flow of cars is coming off East-West Highway into that same roundabout. The roundabout at Tony's Million Darling and Smiley Butler Highway, quite active. Heaviest congestion is what's coming from through the Sports Center passing Millennium Gardens, where you've got two lane of cars headed towards the roundabout in a slow bumper-to-bumper ride. Six-leg roundabout quite active right now as the congestion begins on the University Drive side. Going into that roundabout. Traffic quite active there on University Drive, Nassau Street, and the roundabout there at Ponciana Drive. In fact, Ponciana Drive, quite busy. But as the traffic moves further east along Wolf Road, it kind of spaces out so it's not as congested. All the way on the east end, the traffic light at Wolf, Village, Bernard, and Soldier Road is quite active, mainly with the solid traffic flow heading further east along Bernard Road into the Fox Hill area. And the congestion for the ride west has started already. So if you're on West Bay Street, once you leave Nassau Street, prepare to slow down for the bumper in some places, but you will be riding the brakes all the way into that roundabout there at Saunders Beach. That Saunders Beach roundabout also slowing the traffic that's coming from West into that same location, giving that traffic some bumper-to-bumper wait time before they can get through on their way into the city as well. So far, it's just a regular afternoon of busy traffic across the island. This Nassau Traffic Report service of jsjohnsononline.com, where you can sign up today for their online service center app, and you're able to view our policy details, check our standing balances, and report a claim as well. With your Sky look at traffic in real time, and VA Double N. Back in an hour with an update.
Michael was in a horrible car accident. Prudential Loss Adjusters managed his claim and got him her. Sierra's roof received hurricane damage. Thanks to Prudential, she and her kids are happy with their claim settlement. Tammy fractured her ankle in a slip and fall. Prudential saved her time, money, and peace of mind. Prudential Loss Adjusters are here for you whenever a tragedy strikes. Call 322-4026 now.
Don't wait for disaster to strike. This hurricane season, be ready. Protect your home with an affordable and comprehensive home insurance policy from Shield Insurance. You can't control what nature blows your way, but with Shield Insurance, you can rest easy as you ride out the storm. Protect your largest and most valuable investment. Don't take a chance. Put your home in our hands.
Shield Insurance agents and brokers in Nassau. Call 356-7202 or Freeport 352-5945.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas. And everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Burger King Nassau is taking spice to new heights with the new Baja Whopper and Baja Crispy Chicken Sandwiches. Enjoy your choice of a flame-grilled Whopper or crispy chicken filet, jalapenos, cheese, lettuce, tomato, all on a fresh potato bun. The new Baja sandwiches at Burger King Nassau pack plenty of flavor, and with an ice-cold Pepsi and fries or onion rings, it's the perfect way to fill your day. The Baja Whopper and Baja Crispy Chicken Sandwich are only available at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
When I had got prostate cancer, my family didn't know if I was going to live at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Within days, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options, and they set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer. They don't see you as a number. They see you as a part of family. I'm going on with my life. It's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises its customers in New Providence and the Family Islands that the corporation will commence mass disconnections beginning Monday, March 28, 2022, on all outstanding accounts and financial agreements. Customers who have not honored their financial agreements are advised to visit their local offices to update those agreements as soon as possible. And all customers are further advised to bring their accounts up to date to avoid the disconnection of their water and sewage services without further notice.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to the Hit Back. What a stimulating conversation. Texter wants to acknowledge your text messages. First text message says, I'm not sure which school that guest worked at, but the vast majority of schools are headed and led by women, especially the primary school. Men are actually discriminated against when it comes to female students and school leadership in general. Most people just automatically feel that men should not teach younger children, especially girls, However, women teaching boys, girls, primary school, primary, secondary, or tertiary is seen as just fine. That is really interesting. A texter also says that we live in a matriarchal society. Women control the home, school, church, and the workplace. While there are men in certain leadership positions like prime minister and MPs, the vast majority of permanent leadership positions in the civil service, like permanent secretaries, directors, and department heads, are by women. I think this idea of a male-dominated Bahamas is a fallacy. Women control the home, the school, the church, and society in general. And I must say this, if a woman's place is not in the home, maybe this should be communicated to judges and the justice systems who have not gotten the memo, because women and mothers are given the overwhelming benefit when it comes to divorce and custody matters. And I agree with that last statement that women are usually given the vast amount of consideration, the custody agreements. Another text shares, good show, happy Women's Day to you, Ms. Dean, and your lovely, talented guest. Did I hear Ms. Jazzy, right? That Beyonce or some women may be submissive. That is a good, godly word, not a curse or interior word. As women and men, we must all know our roles and purpose, and that we celebrate and compliment, not compete and criticize each other. What say ye? And you know what, Texter, you're leading me right into this discussion for the next few minutes that we're about to have, hearing from Yasmin, Dr. Gandhi, and Simone about the fact that as women, we look for bias to be breaking in the world. We look for equality. We look for equal access. We look for the advancement of women. And, you know, as the texter alluded to earlier, there are women predominantly throughout the Bahamas in leadership positions. Are we really demonstrating how to break the bias by not being biased toward our own sisters? So I want to open the conversation up now to Dr. Gandhi, Simone, Yasmin, for your contribution. 2 minutes each, please. So Simone, we can start with you. Dr. Gandhi, while we wait for Simone to get ready, we'll come over to you.
I think I would say good afternoon, everyone. I would like to think that we have made strides in removing the biases that we have a child that, you know, the desire for most children my age were to be micro skin, or we would say in the Bahamas, micro skin. But of course, I do think we have made some strides where we are more accepting, more welcoming, more supportive of each other, despite complexion tones, despite hair textures. There was a time that there was a discrimination we would have among ourselves with women with softer texture. I believe the global movements have impacted us locally, where we are more accepting of even fuller shaped women, slimmer women. So I think we have begun understanding that Black in particular is beautiful in any shade, but more importantly, that women on the whole are to be celebrated. And I think we have begun, even in terms of racial biases, we've been moving in the right positive direction in that area. And I want to say that sororities and girls clubs and different women movements have helped us to move beyond the barriers or the biases that we once saw among ourselves. I think we are becoming far more acceptable to each other than we were in the past.
Well, interesting, Dr. Gandhi. Yes, I would agree with you on a 60% ratio, but I'll come back to that after the break. Simone and Yasmin, you can go ahead and unmute yourselves. Let's have a conversation about whether we are demonstrating to the world how to break the bias among women.
I guess I'll go ahead while we wait for Simone. I think she's having an issue unmuting. I would say that in some instances, we are making strides, but then I also think that there is still a divide between the socioeconomic classes of women. And I think that it's really important that we include that divide in our conversation when we're speaking about biases, because many of us that exist in this call, a lot of us are in maybe middle class, upper class, in our social stratus. And because of that, we don't engage with women that we think do not have the characteristics that we would want in our inner circles. And so I think we have to really not just think about, well, the people on our economic platform, all of us that are the same, but we also have to think about what is our relationship between those that are less fortunate financially than we are. Are we just reaching back to them to say, oh, well, here, I'm going to give you something? Or are we actively involving, changing the nature of the society so that everybody thrives?
Well, thank you so much, Yasmin. This is a conversation I am so ready to go deeper into. Starting and having strides, yes, we do have a way to go. And we're going to talk about how much more work we have to do in setting the example of breaking the bias among women and the inner fighting and the black rap mentality that exists with talent throughout corporate Bahamas and throughout, influencers in our country as well, so that we begin to allow for other women to support them, to help them, to help them elevate, to help them grow, to teach them the path, to be great mentors and coaches versus being threatened by talent. And so right after our news break, we'll pick this conversation up. Remember, this is The Hit Back, and it's being hosted today by Duquesa Dean. Text in at 422-4796. We'd love to hear your comments. We'll be right back after the break.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back to The Hit Back. It's Duquesa Dean hosting today's episode of the show. Producer Ali and I are just funking to the music in here. I'm Every Woman, a celebration and tribute to women out there to know Women's Day. Before we dive back into our conversation, I'd like to invite Yasmin to share with us a small tribute that she has for women in spoken word. Go ahead, Yasmin.
In honor of Women's International Day. Grateful to the women that opened their lives to carry us in their secret place, to surround us with prayers. The women who hold us in their hearts, to surround us with love. The women that place our hands in theirs, to lead us out of dark places, even while learning to carry themselves.
I love it. Thank you. I'm going to say thank you because I am her. Thank you, Yasmin.
The power of her.
Yes, the power of her. So I just want to read some of our text messages. A texter said, I disagree with the text. Is it that women are ruling everything? Or are they just stepping up to the plate when men are not? They have every opportunity to step up too, much more than women. Whoo, child. I see people from all over the world traveling to participate in the Idol and Voice series. Why can't we have a local talent screening to find super talented Bahamians and send off maybe the top five, keeping in mind not who we like, but what the judges are looking for? We have a texter saying, great show as usual. No, she is completely wrong. Mango Skin Gals is a dime. A woman get extra brownie points just being a mango. As a matter of fact, I'm sure a mango skin woman will get a raise before a browning. There is indeed colorism in racism as well. So yes, it is said that prettier light-skinned people have more opportunities than them. Enjoying the viewpoints of your guests and agree that a woman's role is where she wants it to be. Happy International Women's Day. Thank you so very much, Texter. Texter says that the force keeping women down is another woman. If women wanted a female prime minister, they would have at the very least lobbied to have, how you pronounce her name?
Kumalafe.
Yes, Kumalafe. Thank you so very much. From the DNA elected. That would have been such a message if she were elected. Even though the birth rate for male and female is just about 50-50, due to murders and criminal arrests, women outnumber men in society. If women come together and lobby for what they want, there is no force that can stop them. And you know what? I wholeheartedly agree with this texter that if women came together, that we can do so much more. But I want to hear from Simone because I haven't. She's had some technical difficulties. And so, Simone, as we talk about this conversation about breaking the bias and women breaking the bias between themselves first, before wanting the world to give us access and equal opportunity, that we give ourselves that and give each other that, where are we as it relates to breaking the bias among ourselves?
I think we have a long way to go. Good afternoon to everyone. Good afternoon to Dr. Gandhi, Yasmin, and to your audience. We still have a long way to go in that area, Tukwesa, because it's more the anomaly to see women uplifting women than it is for, women uplifting women. Our day-to-day experience of women pulling each other down and not making inroads. And I can speak from as an HR professional. And there are a number of young professionals that want to get into this profession. They want to get into the field. You know, they prepared themselves academically. They get a degree, they get the certification, that they're doing all the things that we tell them to do. And then these same people won't give them an opportunity. And it seems like they are resentful of the fact that they are preparing themselves. And they look at that as, oh, well, now that you prepared yourself on the one hand, now you don't have any experience. Like, why are we continuing to marginalize each other? Why aren't we helping each other more? Why aren't we opening doors more? Why, if we are talking about mentoring and doing all of these other things, aren't we creating space on our platforms for people to come up, so to speak? As both Gandhi and Yasmin have said, we have to make room for each other. We don't make room for each other when we're continuing to put each other down and to have these isms and schisms about color and size and who you with and how much you got and what you drive in and all these other things. It's not helping the cause.
You know, Simone, I hear your passion. Really, I do. I can actually feel your passion for this subject. As a matter of fact, it really took me back to an episode of the Evolving Woman TV when we were recording. And I think it was you and another guest, Felicia, having the conversation about the fact that, you know, as a woman and as a full-size woman, there is discrimination for job opportunities, for advancement, because people are judgmental and favor women of a slimmer hue. And so that is definitely a bias that exists. Yes, it is a bias that exists. And so as women leaders, when we lead, you know, our companies and our businesses, what is it that makes a woman feel threatened by another woman? Because if we're talking about breaking the bias, we have to be real and we have to open the conversation and inspect these things. You know, yes, men have these ideas that they could get up in the middle of the night and they could have their way with us, whether we agree or not. And most of their desires for women is more of the sexual nature in their control of women. You know, I see more acceptance of men, of women being in the workplace, of women voting. You don't see a lot of uproar about those sorts of things. But what is it that, what is Andy and Yasmin from opening the door for younger talents, for other people who we see the potential in, and that we can break the bias that we have against them because they're younger and we're afraid that they're going to take our jobs, or that we have to keep them boxed in because who do they think they are for being creative and having these thoughts? Like, you know, how do we begin to allow more access, Dr. Gandhi?
I think once we are confident and comfortable with who we are, I think it allows the segue for us to invite others to our space or invite others on our platform. I think generally we all have built-in biases. For instance, there are a lot of times that we want others to succeed, and we would say something like, "Hey, how you doing?" or "I hope you do well." But inwardly, for some people, they say that with some reservation that you're doing well or your success doesn't mean that you're making more than them. Doesn't mean that you're advancing more than them. So I think a lot of people have personal biases. Once we become comfortable with who we are, once we get rid of fear, a lot of times it just takes a conversation to understand. Inviting somebody onto a platform that may be younger or have a different perspective than you does not diminish your value. I think we need to look at each other as sisters. Like, once we start to understand that Yasmin is my sister, Simone is my sister, yes, she may be a different size, a different shape, I have no need to be threatened by her, she's my sister. But I think at the very base of it, once we are confident and comfortable with ourselves, we then have space and we have the capacity to journey alongside with each other, without becoming jealous, without becoming envious, and sincerely to win and to succeed. Because them winning does not make us necessarily a loser.
Okay, that's interesting.
There's space for us all to win. That's how I see it.
Yes, and I agree with you. There is space for us all to win. I have a plug here, though, and, you know, perhaps a little bit of controversy, but are we entitled to helping our sister out? Are we obligated to giving her access? Are we obligated to helping her up the ladder? Like, is it an obligation? Is it an entitlement? You know, do we really have to do it? What are your thoughts about that, Yasmin? What are your thoughts about that, Simone? Do we really have to do it, or should they have the tenacity, the courage, and the fortitude to pave their own way, to find their own way?
I think that is perhaps one of the major reasons why women in, I would say, higher positions in job areas or that own their own business, that same mentality is the reason why they don't reach out to other young women. And I think it's a fallacy that they stand upon, because most of us have connections that have afforded us the ability to propel ourselves to the higher position that we are in. We've been connected to some individual, or our family is connected to some individual, that has allowed us to climb the ladder. Not easily. I'm not going to say it's always an easy climb, but that has aided us or put us in the right room. And so we seem to forget those relationships that have oiled the steps and made it easier for us to move through. And I think that then turns around in the rush or the to say, this is my position. I worked hard to get here. No one else did what I did, or no one was there to help me. But I think that that is a lie that we often tell ourselves, that no one was there to help us. And so we should not reach back our hand to help another, or we should not mentor another, or we should not guide another. I think we tell these things to ourselves because it is convenient to be in this realm where we're saying we are the only ones that has made it up here. And so others should not have that same kind of ease of access with us reaching back to them.
All right. Thank you so much for that.
Yasmin, if I could jump in.
Go ahead, Simone.
I think tied to that is this belief that if I had to fight for it, you should too. You know, it's almost as if, why should I make it any easier for you? This is what my come up has been. So, you know, you got to get a taste of this as well, which is, a part of that is true, but a part of that too is you could still reach back.
Yeah. And I think it's a really toxic mindset that we have. Really? But no one is really calling it that. It's just the hustle. It's just the grind, right? That people are just actively promoting everywhere all around you. It's like, oh, you have to grind. You have to hustle. You have to forsake all things and everything. Sometimes even your moral compass to make sure you have this persona, this personality that can bring or inspire awe from people around you. And I think that's a big heart, the heart of it as well. You want to inspire awe. And if you have another person that's on the same level as you that others can look at, then that becomes the divide. And you have to share the attention that you once had with somebody else.
And I mean, like, you know, someone alluded to earlier, there's enough attention in the world for everyone. I believe that if we become, though, specialized and the experts in our fields, we have the opportunity now to stand out from those that we mentor. And we are able to leave our legacy. You know, let's just be real. Like, one day we're not going to be here. But we can leave our legacy in our younger counterparts or in those that we mentor and those that we guide. When we look at our world today, I'm just going to be real. There are a lot of women who struggle with thoughts of insufficiency. There are women who are confident, yes, but there are also women whose self-esteem could be a bit more positive. And the reason that they shirk back or that they are not as aggressive in the pursuit of the things that they want really goes back to perhaps not being validated enough as a child, not being able to build hobbies that help them to understand their confidence levels, not really understanding how much value they bring to the world just by their existence, that they bring value into the world. We need women who are stronger, and we need other women. We need other women to mentor those women. Every girl should have a mentor, a role model, someone that she looks up to, a positive role model. Because, you know, we hear a lot, like, you know, after you get, like, when you're like a baby and you're beginning to explore, people encourage you. You know, you get up, you crawl, you fall down, you see your parents saying, oh, good job, try it again. And so you do it again. You have that positive reinforcement. And by the time you get 3 or 4, you start to hear comments like, well, why you do that? You stupid, eh? Or, you know, we begin to get a little bit more negative. Has changed, and we're no longer as soft and tolerant as we were when they were toddlers. But we are also at that point beginning to hit or break down their confidence or their self-esteem. We were born to explore. And so if we were to trace a lot of the reasons why some of us are passive about pursuing the things that we know will bring us joy, it really goes back to that ability to self-affirm, the ability to self-validate, the ability to build one's own esteem. Because when we give the power to other people, when we seek external validation, that's exactly what we're doing. We're giving somebody else the power to control our emotions. So I'm going to invite Dazzy in the conversation in just a sec, but I want to read some of these text messages. Simone, you are right. As juvenile as it is, jealousy is real. I also see the texter saying, amazing, powerful point. A texter is saying, we must acknowledge that women exist within the oppression of patriarchy. Women don't bash other women because that's just naturally who they are. A patriarchy promotes scarcity and the idea that you can only win if she loses. Listen, I don't see why we can't win together. Which female on your panel would trade places with their husbands or boyfriends during wartime to fight and die for country? Listen to me. I am also, really amazed by the bravery of the women in Ukraine who are taking arms to the street. They're not just saying we're going to leave this war to the men, but we have seen women rise up. As a matter of fact, there was this whole social media posting about a former Miss Ukraine who stood with her rifle ready to defend her country. But at what point does women empowerment or women's advent a woman trying to take a man's place in society? You're dying to speak.
That there's so many points. I've forgotten points and created new points and reverted back to original points. Back to the earlier conversation that I was hearing about, people giving you access and, a lot of the idealism I heard espoused, while I love the ladies on the panel, Dr. Yandy, I love her. I love Simone. I hear that, but I think a lot of that is idealism and it's not what is in reality. And from my personal experiences and from what I've seen kind of just displayed in human nature, a lot of times if you lead not by example, but you lead by direct contact and trying to give persons access, you will sorely regret that. And I've seen that play out over and over and over and over and over, because a lot of times people are not at the maturity level or they're not at the emotional level of ascension where they have any empathy for persons who are trying to quote unquote help them or put them on. It's purely a selfish pursuit. And so you will actually a lot of times suffer if you allow access. Now, I'm not saying if that's right or wrong. That's just what I have seen happen time and time again. And I have myself personally come to regret a lot of times, paving pathways and trying to put, I have suffered sorely for that, with the exception of you, DeGrasse, and a couple other ladies. But generally speaking, most people just, you don't really owe them access, because a lot of times, we are born in this world to fulfill a purpose. If you don't know what your purpose is, it bodes you well to go and find it. It's up to you to go to therapy. It's up to you to get personal development. It's up to you to read. You create your purpose on what I call the creation plane versus the competitive plane. Certain things you just never have to worry about. So what I mean is this. If someone is not, quote unquote, putting you on, we now live in the age of access where you have your own smartphone. You have your own internet. You can put yourself on. If they're not putting you behind a microphone, you can create your own microphone. You could publish your own independent podcast. If they're not publishing you, you can create your own publication. So I think gone are the days where we need to focus so much on what persons are and aren't doing, and more so find our way of expressing ourselves in ways that we can control. Because a lot of the gatekeeping, just because of the nature of how the world is now, it's just a construct of our mind. We don't need permission to do anything, right? And I think those artificial barriers is what keeps us down. Now, in the Bahamas, a lot of how wealth is created, a lot of how peace is created is on that competitive plane, right? Not the creative plane, because there is a certain amount of scarcity based on borders, based on banking laws, based on currency, based on quite a lot of. I think it's up to us to move and shift into areas where it's more open source, such as digitally, such as, online platforms, other spaces where we have that freedom to move. I just want to shout out islandfans.net because I have to do it. I have to do it because a lot of Bahamians and a lot of Caribbean creators now are creating their own incomes. And I did a post about it that went kind of viral. If I screenshotted you, sorry about that. But, we have to get the word out.
Now, Dazzy, I'm going to tell you that some of what you say, agree with, but some of it I think is just, no, I don't agree with.
Because you're bleeding heart to question.
Yes, I am. But at the same time, though, it really depends on, and ladies on the panel, you can share. It really depends on what your objective is. As a John Maxwell certified coach, it's like, if you want to go alone, go ahead. I believe I am also of the belief that you can create your own pathway. You can jump on social media. You can build your own table. At the same time, though, I believe that women, just like the women in the suffrage movement who came together for a powerful reason, when we combine our forces, we're able to go further together than we can alone. The key is in selecting who you are going further with, because I agree, you can't give everybody access to you, but there are some people in your world that you can invite to your table who can mentor you, because you also begin to grow as a result of that mentorship. It's just not about you giving. You also receive something in exchange for that relationship. So it's about building this core in a circle, bring and people take. You just can't have takers coming to the table. So when we invite women to our tables, we have to invite women who are bringing value to the table and not just taking away from the table, because that is where challenges actually begin. There's power in collaboration. As a matter of fact, I was just having a conversation with one of my coaches this morning, talking about, or last night maybe, talking about the fact that collaboration isn't easy. Because while you could join forces with someone, that's not true collaboration. True collaboration is in aligning your values and aligning your vision with another woman so that together you can achieve more than you would individually. But I want to get back to my original point. My original point for this discussion is, where does it cross the line, Yasmin, Gandhi, Simone, and I'm going to come to Dazzy. Where does it cross the line with a woman being a woman but also filling male roles? What crosses the line? And I want to open this up discussion up with Dr. Gandhi.
I guess for me, I would need clarity as to what we are considering male roles, because in a lot of cultures, a lot of roles are fluid, and I don't see, there are certain things that a female simply can't do based on genetic design, based on physical structure. And if it's these kinds of roles that we're talking about, then I would say, I do think there are some gender-specific roles. However, I do think, going back to the point about responsibilities at home, I would find that a lot of things that we ascribe to as responsibilities in the home are not biblical. Some of it is male, all right? And so when we talk about defining roles for males or females, I think that, because my worldview is based on a biblical perspective, as long as I'm not doing anything that contradicts biblical values as it relates to my role, I can do anything. And that in itself moves us away from a lot of culturally, in our local Bahamian context, what we describe as feminine or female roles.
Okay, interesting. Interesting, Dr. Gandhi. Thank you for that. Simone, what are your thoughts?
I actually agree with Gandhi. I think that women can do whatever they put their minds to do and whatever they want to do.
Well, Simone, before you go on, though, let me just ask this question. If we say that women can do whatever they put their minds to and do whatever it is that they want, is that leading us towards this attitude that we don't need men?
No. To the contrary, and you know how I feel about that, right? I think that we have, unfortunately, we've polarized ourselves, and we're putting ourselves on one end and we're putting men on the other end, and we're not meeting in the middle, right? We've just made this a huge competition between ourselves. So just because I may want to do whatever I want to do doesn't mean that I don't need men in my life. I think women need men because they have a perspective that is very different from ours. And women need that. I know that sometimes I've rejected men's opinions and it turned around and bit me in the butt. The way they think is just completely different from the way women think. But to go back to the point about when do we draw the line, I honestly think it's women and men have to think about what is best for my life. We can't think about all of these roles and responsibilities. Like Gandhi said, a lot of them are cultural. A lot of these things we are taught and we don't know where it comes from. A lot of times it doesn't make any sense, because if we were to really run our lives and our homes and everything like we would do a business, we would put people where they are best suited for their strengths. And I could tell you now, I love a fellow who could cook. So if he want to cook all day, every day, I am quite happy to sit and enjoy his meal. Who is to say that because I am the female, that I'm the one that has to do all of the cooking? He may be better at it. So I think we have to look at what we want for our lives. What is my life all about? What's my purpose? And then I would align all of my activities with where I am leaning. So just because I have the ability to be a CEO, a president, a general in an army or whatever it is, doesn't mean that that is what I need to be just because I have access to it, if that makes sense. We need to align our access, the equality, the opportunities with what we are meant to do. Because a large part of what is screwing up our world and our workplaces and our families is that we are out of position. And I'm not talking about position as in who's equal. We are out of alignment and we are not functioning the way that we ought to function in that way. And Dazzy, I know that may sound very idealistic.
No, I actually agree. I agree.
Oh, thank you so much. I agree. Yes, that warmed my heart, actually. Yasmin, let's hear from you before we go to a break.
I would have to agree with both ladies. I struggle with the concept of place, because I think that is something that society has given us. And I've not really been given a concrete definition of what the role of a woman is outside of her ability. And I'm not always saying maturely, but her ability to access her emotions, which allows her to demonstrate care. That is only one facet. So you have, I'm still waiting on myself as well as on others to fully give an explanation or a definition of what the role is of a woman in the society. What is the role of a man in the society? Because as Simone said, and as Gandhi mentioned, we've been given these things for generations. And we need to, I think, aggressively, if we are to re-envision our society, we need to aggressively sit down to the table with these ideals that we've been given and deconstruct them to figure out what it is we want as a society for us to prosper in the years to come.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone, so much for these stimulating conversation pieces that you're providing. I want to just read this text before we go off to break. Texter is saying, host, you can do both, which she's talking about doing a solo run and also doing, you can join and still do your own thing, join forces. I hope that you're enjoying this conversation just as much as I am. I'm Duquesa Dean hosting this episode of The Hit Back. Remember to share in this conversation. You can go ahead and text 422-4796. We'll be back right after this break.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S.C., 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 J.S. Johnson Insurance.
When I had got prostate cancer, my family didn't know if I was going to live at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Within days, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options, and they set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer. They don't see you as a number. They see you as a part of family. I'm going on with my life. That's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches. Fidelity, we're good
for you. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to the Hit Back. That is so hilarious because, listen, today I wore stilettos. I wore these heels today and I was like, girl, you just coming off of Zoom training and you trying to spend 2 hours teaching in heels? But your girl looks sexy though. Anyway, on to other things. Let's talk about our text messages. Texter says, Dr. Gandhi, since you can't think of any male roles, let's consider a woman raising a boy without the role of a father. Some women say they are mother and father. What about human relationships? Are there no role differentiation in gender role in relationships? The problem with modern women today is that they refuse to recognize that men are the testosterone, and women are the estrogen. There are physical differences regardless, and the differences makes both sexes ideal for different roles. Modern feminism says that men and women are equal, but that is not true. Equal means you can exchange one for the other. Do you really believe that in every role in society, one can simply swap a woman for a man? Another texter shares that a man's role, first and foremost, is to be the head of the home, is to be the head of the family and priest. Secondly, to provide and protect the place where we get these ideals from is Jehovah. And this takes us right into our final question for today. We have talked about breaking the bias. We are asking for equal opportunities. We're asking for equal access. We're asking for equal pay. And we're challenging our society, corporate organizations to give us that, to pay us the same that they pay men, to give us the same opportunities for advancement in those organizations that they give men, to see us beyond our gender. And then we talked about the fact that as women, we need to break the bias among us. We have to be a bit more supportive of other women. We need to treat other women the way that we want the world to treat us. We have to break the bias that we hold against each other. And the final part of our conversation today, which I will ask each one of our participants to share on, is if the advancement of women is not about the fall of man, how can we help men to understand we're advocating for our place and not for their demise? Dazzy.
Tsukwasa. So here's the thing. All of these things are being advocated for. We can take action and we can request certain things as a gender, but you cannot control what that does to society, right? So every action has a reaction. Every thing that you want has a counterpart. So if you want certain things, there's going to be certain results that you're going to get from men. And that just is what it is. Now, I just want to say for the record, I support and I like traditional gender roles. And for me, that is what works best for me. And that's my choice, right? That is not to say that anyone who chooses differently cannot do differently. But I feel that in the Black community in particular, a lot of what is being fought for is actually to the detriment of Black women, because the things that were being fought for, a lot of times Black women already had, right? And so I feel that in a society that's already matriarchal, fighting to burn yourself out more, you're only fighting to have more exhaustion, and you're only fighting to further erode whatever assistance and protections would have been there in the first place in a lot of cases. And why I say that is, if you look at the statistics of Black women in burnout and the health ramifications for that, a lot of Black women in society find themselves being breadwinner, going 50-50, raising the children, doing most of the labor for that, working.
What's 50-50?
When I say going 50-50 on bills and cohabitation, things like that, doing the majority of childcare labor, working extremely hard at a job, just complete burnout, right? And then on the other hand, in other societies, the norm for many, many years was that the man was the breadwinner, right? And so if you look at what is happening in media, that's why I always believe that we must separate what is the popular narrative from where we are uniquely placed. I don't think it's to the benefit for a lot of women, because from slavery ended, Black women were disproportionate than them. So why are you fighting for more? I don't get it, right? I understand it in theory, but from what I've seen, the brunt and the load is already being borne. And I don't believe that we are looking at this holistically for how our race is set up in the construct being compared to other races and the norms that they have. And I feel that media is leading a lot of us astray in terms of what we think we need to promote advocacy for. And it is to our detriment, because Black women are already very masculinized and very tired and very overworked.
I think that we need a discussion on that topic specifically alone, because there were so many questions that came up for me. Are they really advocating for these things? Are they being left alone? Are they being left in the position where they have to hustle, where they have to be the provider, where they have to be all things because men aren't stepping up to their responsibilities, which really takes us back to the role of families in the community, the role of sex in the community, and when one should engage in sex, so that all the other ramifications that we experience, we may not face. But that's a whole discussion.
It is. That's why I don't like to touch it, right? Because it's so layered, Duquesa. It's extremely layered. And if you dig down deep into the, looking at the scarcity mindset, that's only because a large section of women only see certain men as their options, right? It's not holistic, as if they are marketable to everybody, right? So I can't even touch it, right? It's very layered.
Dr. Gandhi, let's hear from you. We need a conversation on that. Let's go, Dr. Gandhi. Can we hear from you?
So I want to say, firstly, thank you to the viewers that did text, the listeners that did text in, because I don't disagree with any, especially from the standpoint of the fact that I did say that there are genetic related roles. I do not at all advocate for a woman saying that she can father or teach a boy how to be a boy, or even teach or play the role of a father to her daughter. So I'm not advocating at all or demolishing the fact that these are gender related roles. My conversation or my comments were more to ones that are not biblical. And I am a wife and I submit to my husband and I believe that he's the head. So again, like I said, I'm talking about roles outside of biblical roles and outside of genetic related roles. So I want to say that I don't disagree with those comments. Now, as it relates to the fight, for instance, or us arguing about or discussing biases, I want to say that the conversation for all of us here, we're not fighting necessarily on the same causes. And that's one of the issues, because when we look at biases and as Dazi Odaz shared her experiences, to the contrary, my experiences with relating with other women for the most part has been far more favorable and more beneficial and I would like to think mutually beneficial. And so I've seen where women have helped pull me up and I've also seen where me pulling up other women have empowered me even the better for sharing platforms with them. But to your specific question now about the advancement of women, I want to take it from the perspective of this. I work in a particular area that was, when I first entered, it was mainly male dominated. My husband and I share a home together. We both work and we both share our family responsibilities together. When I'm on a job doing the same amount of hours and the same amount of work that my male counterparts do, I'm fighting for biases for me being a woman not to be discriminated against because of that. And as a matter of fact, I'm not saying that to the disadvantage of saying pay a man's less. I'm just saying, let me show up with what's on paper, the qualifications and the strength and the value that I bring to the organization. And don't let the fact that I may need a maternity leave be a reason why I'm paid less. So I don't think we're devaluing our gender here as we speak about biases. It's not to devalue men, certainly not. I think later we in the comment chat, we chatted and we said, we need emphasizing the ease. We need men and we value men. But it's just that we're just saying that, hey, if we're producing a certain amount of work that should be paid a certain amount of money, give us what's due to us. That's all.
Yes. Give us what's due to us. Thank you, Dr. Gandhi. Yasmin, can I hear from you?
Sure. I'm going to jump straight to the question. How can we help men to understand that the rise of women is not the fall of men? And I think that we have to understand that when we are the same grounds to stand on in terms of the way that we access who we are and how we can operate and the doors that are open to us in society, once that's an equal playing field, and I'm not even talking about what is going on in our personal lives, inside our homes and inside our families, because I think that that is a different conversation. And so I'm not necessarily going to get into that, but I will speak to, if we're in the workplace, how can we help men to understand or to appreciate that we're not coming to battle them. We're just coming for the same appreciation, the same value that they are getting based on the qualifications, based on the labor, since we're using that word, right? Based on the labor that we would have put in, that our work is of equal measure. And I think that is really what the conversation is about. It's about the equal measure of the work that we put out and it being valued and balanced. Because if we're doing the same job and we're doing the same, the reward of our labor should be the same.
Yes.
And if me getting the same money as you is a threat to you, then I think that is something that we have to sit at the table and ask the questions, well, why do you feel threatened because of that?
Yes.
Is this coming from a place of your own insecurities, your own ego? And how can we then work together to reinvigorate that conversation so that everybody feels comfortable with what is happening within, specifically within the workplace?
Listen to me. I think we need a part two, part three, part four, and part five of this conversation. Thank you so much for your input. Let's get to some text messages. Dazi, are you married? You sound like a perfect woman. You are so right. There are consequences to every decision. We can't look at the demise of the family with the high divorce rate we are experiencing and say that what we are doing is right. God created a man and woman, and we all have purpose as laid out by God. There is a scripture that says, there is a way that seems right in the eyes of man, but the end thereof is destruction. How powerful is that? And so I want to just say thank you to our guests for participating in our conversation today, Alina, Dr. Gandhi Samoon, Yasmin, and Odaz. As we begin to wrap today's show up, I just like to share that we do need more women to rise up. We need more women to stand up and be dream builders. We need are able to be disciplined in the fight for equality, for equal pay, for equal access. Yes, Dazzy, I'm saying all of those things because these are my beliefs. We need women to rise up and help to break the bias. Whatever that bias is that you may be experiencing, and I think that everyone has the power of choice to either live traditionally or to live outside of the box or to be a creative, whichever route they choose, very well understanding that there are consequences for every choice. Individually, though, we are responsible for our own thoughts and actions all day, every day. We can break the bias in our communities. We can break the bias in our workplaces. We can break the bias in our schools, colleges, universities, in our countries. Together, we can break the bias on International Women's Day and also beyond. Years ago in the 1800s and 1900s, women's advocates, they fought for equality. And that focus was largely on securing equal pay, the right to vote. And these are two issues, women's voices and participation in government and the gender pay gap, largely remain key priorities well over a century later, according to the internationalwomens.com. I just want to share with you and to encourage you that the fight that we are fighting, whether you're joining us or not, whatever your opinions are, I believe in the power of choice. This is your fight. This is your fight for you, for your children, and for your children's children. As you look at what you want for the future of your girl, what is the example that you're setting of what you want them to experience in life? What are you showing them? Because people believe what they see. Children are so impressionable. They believe what they see over what we tell them. And so what are we showing our children? What are we showing our girl children about the right to be courageous, about the right to own our power, about the right to pursue the jobs and the purpose that we believe have been destined for our lives? What are we doing to build their esteem and to build their value and to create women of value? What are we doing for the future? And so as the world actually now expects us to be a little bit more inclusive. You know, you have Black Lives Matter, you have Me Too Matter, all sorts of movements are rising up. And so we want to make sure that we continue the focus on having female-focused days in the world, making sure that equality and, gender equality is firmly on the agenda. I invite you to use your voice and power. I invite you, my listening audience, to use your voice and your power to forge the agenda ahead and to make positive gains for women and girls worldwide. Worldwide. Thank you so much for listening to and participating in the Hit Back. I'm Duquesa Dean. Happy to be your host today. Take care.
We can. It ain't easy walking in stilettos, but somebody gotta do it. Spend a day in my shoes and see what the hell bigger is doing what I do. Always on point, always on cue. Life's so hectic, call it a zoo. Elegance is a passion. I built this body to relax in. Try to break me down, I'ma get the last laugh in. Don't need to talk, I speak with actions. I perfected the
satisfaction.
Better check yourself before you get what you're asking.
Don't get it twisted, give your butt affection.
The woman's life equals alright. The woman, no life. I'd like to see you try.